1-800-449-8686. And now, Phil Hendry.
And we're out at the, I'm not out there, I'm in the studio right now. Bobby, how you doing?
Right now, sir, we are at the Estates 8, and I hope you can hear me, because there are a group of parents here as well as some young people. And really the message is, let's get parents educated and get the kids educated on Jackass, because we think the film, for other people and their children, could be dangerous. I was talking with my sons about that.
All right, tell me, you and your three sons got together at your home this weekend to what, to protest Jackass?
Not really to protest Jackass, but to let other people know and let other kids know how in really at risk they are. This is a film that can be dangerous for a lot of other parents and their kids. And I guess what Dylan and Seth and Justin wanted to say to me was simply this: Mom, we have to do something to alert all the other kids who are at risk, so that they don't do something stupid and make us embarrassed, really, to be their friends. And I think that's the message.
What about your kids?
What about my kids?
What about your kids? Have your kids seen this movie?
Oh, my kids have seen the movie, Phil, but you have to understand something. Steve and I are very hands-on parents. And Steve...
Hi, Bill.
Yeah, Steve.
We're very hands-on. We love our kids very much. I think you need to understand there's a big difference between our boys, who were raised very responsibly, we're very hands-on, and these other kids out there that are seeing this Jackass movie, and the parents. So the first thing, those on the PTO, we went with other parents, and we wanted them to know what their kids are going to do probably this week, because the movie opened on Friday night.
All right, I'm talking with Bobby Dooley. She is the president of the Western Estates Homeowners Association. She is at the Estates 8 Theater Complex in Western Estates, California right now. And there's a group of parents that are on their way in to see this movie?
There are some 150 parents from all three phases of Western Estates, Phil, from the Bougainvillea, from the Magnolia, and the Poplar phase. This represents somewhere in the neighborhood of 300 children who attend Western Estates middle schools and high schools. And we told them to come on out and watch the movie because their kids are at risk. And as I say, Phil, a lot of these kids are going to do these stunts sometime this week.
Why this week? Because the movie opened.
Because the movie opened, exactly.
Can you tell me what you're afraid these kids are going to... And you're not afraid for your own kids.
Oh, no, no. Our kids, Phil, we raised our boys very hands-on. Dylan, Seth, and Justin are a little bit different. They're very responsible. They're not like the rest of these kids who will definitely do something to endanger themselves or endanger the lives of others.
Some of the stunts in Jackass, they urinated into a snow cone and ate it?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You're afraid kids are going to do this?
I don't think there's any doubt, Phil, that a lot of these, and I'm speaking to the parents in your audience who are not hands-on, who will really put my children at risk because you people don't control your children. And so my children will have to be embarrassed by the behavior, Phil. And, you know, I hope God forgives me for saying this, but the spectacle of my boys witnessing some other kid eating a urine-soaked snow cone, putting alligators on their nipples, or whatever it is these people do.
Well, you haven't seen the movie yet. So you don't know what's...
No, I haven't seen the movie yet, but I know because I read some of the breakouts, and I saw some of the call sheets for the actors.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Some of the stunts in Jackass include, I guess one of the kids puts electrodes on his nipples and his testicles.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then they have some electricity-generating device.
Yes. I think that kind of thing can be fun if it's done by a responsible kid, but we don't have that, Phil. Post 9/11, we don't have that. And I'm so worried for my children because they're responsible. My children were brought up hands-on. My children were brought up with love. But I'm talking really about...
Well, you're talking about these other parents who you've bussed down to see this movie.
Yes.
Did they go willingly?
Oh no. We had to threaten them with assessing their property tax. No, we brought in four buses...
Because I was going to say, if they went willingly, it seems like they're responsible parents. You're telling me they didn't go willingly.
No, what we did, I'm the president of the Homeowners Association, And I basically told them, I said, look, here's the deal. You're going to get in that bus. You're going to drive down to the Estates 8. You're going to watch this movie. You're going to then protect my children from the behavior of your children. And if you don't, then we're assessing your property, your homeowners association dues. And there's some other fun things we can do. I mean, I didn't want to do it, Phil.
It was really hard, Mr. Henry.
I really didn't want to do it. But a lot of parents are afraid to find out that they have been lazy with raising their children. And I think the jackass will prove that.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is the number here on the Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Out at the Estates 8 Theater is Bobby Dooley and her husband, Steve Dooley. 150 parents are down there to see the movie Jackass, but this was not a voluntary thing.
No, I had the microphone on each bus, and I basically said, now look it. Listen up. Here's what's going to happen. You're going to see some things in this movie that your kids are going to want to do. Now, we know your kids are not capable of dealing with these stunts, and you probably are not capable of protecting them. Now, you all know my sons, Justin, Seth, and Dylan. You know them to be smart, responsible kids. It was my son's desire to collect all of you to see this film and keep your children from doing these things so you don't embarrass my sons.
And your kids...
Well, I thank God, Phil, and I knock, and I always, Steve and I joke, I say, knock wood. Bring your head over here, Steve.
Okay.
Knock wood. I'm knocking Steve's head because we have that joke, but knock wood, thank God my boys are responsible. You see, Phil, we give our boys enough love so that they don't have to do stunts to attract the love of their parents.
And all right, buddy, I want to ask you here. You're basically saying that your kids are not at risk. It's everybody else's kids.
Well, I can't say everybody else's kids, Phil, but I do know that most of those kids out there are at risk of repeating these stunts.
From the Jackass movie, because that last line you said, your kids get enough love, but you're afraid that most other kids don't get enough love, and so they do these stunts to what?
I think they do the stunts to attract the love of their parents.
They do the stunt.
They do the stunt. Hold on, honey. They do the stunts to get love from their parents.
The kids are doing, they're urinating into a snow cone, they're attaching electrodes to their nipples, and they are tying bottle rockets to their penises because they want to get the attention of their parents.
Yes, I really do. I think they are trying to say, look at me.
And we're very hands-on.
We're hands-on parents. Our boys haven't fallen into that trap. So many families have fallen through that trap, Phil. They're self-deprecating to get love.
So your kids don't do this because they are loved?
Yes, they are loved, and when they do the stunts, they do them responsibly.
Well, let me ask you something, because the L.A. Sheriff was at Western Estates this past weekend.
No, we don't have to get it.
No, hold on for a minute. Western Estates, L.A. Sheriff was at Western Estates, and the police report said that your son, Dylan...
So this was taken out of context.
Hold on. The police report said your son urinated into a snow cone and then gave it to some girl and told her it was lemonade. Is that right?
My boys, Phil, were not like other kids. They do the jackass stunt.
Jackass.
I'm sorry, the jackass stunts responsibly. Now, my boys don't have any infections.
That's the thing, my son isn't infected.
I don't care if they don't have infections. You're telling me that your kid urinating into a snow cone is fine, some other kid doing it isn't.
Exactly, Phil, because my boys do it for fun and for laughs. Other kids do it because they're trying to get mommy and daddy to love them. And when other kids see this movie Jackass, they're going to go out, they're going to attach alligators to their nipples, they're going to go into grocery stores dressed as panda bears and get into boxing matches with people. Why? For the attention and the love of their parents.
All right, well, the movie Jackass, starring Johnny Knoxville, and hold on, Bobby, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Has opened this past weekend. I don't know if it's open nationally. As you know, the TV show Jackass on MTV featured stunts, a lot of them really radical, outrageous stunts by Johnny Knoxville, the star of the show, and a cadre of friends and other performers. Bobby Dooley and other parents from Western Estates have gone down. She actually forced these parents to go down and see this movie, threatening to assess them extra on their homeowners association dues if they didn't, with the following statement, your kids are in danger of repeating these stunts because you may not be as hands-on with your kids as Steve and I are with ours. So I asked her, you mean to tell me that your boys won't do these stuff? She says, oh, no. We are hands-on with our kids. We love our kids. Other kids don't feel as loved. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The question probably is, has Bobby opened your eyes as a parent to the fact that you are not as hands-on with your kids and your kids are going to do these stunts to get your attention? Do you feel as if you have to be more in touch with your kids so that Bobby Dooley's kids and other good kids aren't going to be embarrassed to know your children? 1-800-449-8686. And the other thing, of course, is where did you go wrong as a parent that your kid would urinate into a snow cone or attach electrodes to his testicles? 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686, The world famous Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
You think that everybody else's kids are going to go out and see Jackass and do all those stunts. Your kids won't.
My children, Phil, do it responsibly, all right? I'm the president of the Western States Homeowners Association. I'm the president...
Bobby.
Hold on for just a minute. I'm the president of the Western States Parent Teachers Organization. My boys got with me and said, Mom, what can we do about these other kids that are going to see Jackass, that are going to want to take their clothes off in department stores, attach electrodes to their genitals.
Bobby.
Hold on, please. Allow me to finish. Urinate into snow cones. Defecate into donut bags. Go into a hardware store. This was all in the movie. Okay? We are making these parents go see this film because their children are at risk.
And your kids aren't.
Phil, I'm a hands-on parent. I love my
kids. And your kids are not at risk, just their kids.
My boy, Seth.
Your kid urinated into a snow cone and gave it to a little girl and said it was lemonade. You call that responsible?
It was funny. It was funny.
But done by another kid, it's not.
I don't know what infections they have. I don't.
What are you getting on, Mr. Henry?
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. Jay, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, ma'am, my comment's on about the kid who urinated.
I'm a strong woman. I carry the weight of this to help these parents wake up and notice when their children get the urge to defecate in a casserole dish or anything else. My boys wouldn't do such a thing irresponsibly.
Hey, that's just wrong, you know. That's assault.
What is? I'm sorry, I can barely hear the gentleman.
That's called assault.
Is the caller there?
Yes, I'm here, and that's called assault, ma'am.
It's called a what, dear?
Assault. It's as easy as picking up something, hitting somebody with it.
How do you figure that peeing into a snow cone innocently and saying, would you like some, it's lemonade, is assault?
I like
it.
I like your thinking on this, Jake.
How?
That's your law.
That's my law?
Assault.
Well, if you can't define it, I don't know.
I'm not deciding it. But I also think when you made the people go in and watch the movie, that's nice of you.
Mm-hmm.
But what's your job again?
I'm the president of our homeowners association. All of these parents
people
need to go.
Pay.
Are you a father?
These people pay.
Well, excuse me. Are you a father?
For you to do your job.
Are you a father?
Heck yeah.
All right. Then you understand that if I came to your home and I said, Jay, get down to the movie theater and see this film, you'd go.
Yeah.
You would, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Okay. So you.
But I also know
that
the stunts they do is irresponsible.
Jay, that telephone of yours is, like, really funky. Rob, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead. Rob, are you there? He's not there. Here is Dave on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Go ahead, sir.
You know, Bobby, first of all, Bobby, if you were a hands-on parent, you wouldn't take your kids down and see the movie. Or
I didn't
invite anybody else.
I didn't take the kids to see the movie.
Okay, well, you wouldn't invite any other parents to see the movie, okay?
Oh, parents aren't supposed to see these movies? To see what the children
you know what?
Watching.
This is America, Bobby,
you know,
okay? We all have the ability to either turn the TV on or turn the TV off, okay?
I think that the parents need to see this movie because they need to be responsible. Otherwise,
no.
My children are at risk.
No.
Yes,
your children are at risk, Bobby, only because you allow them to do what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
If you allow your child to piss in a snow cone cup, and you think it's hilarious, okay, to say, here, have a snow cone. All right, now what happens if your child does that at school and gives it to a little girl? And then you get a phone call from the school district saying, hey, come on down here. Your child just gave a pistol.
Well,
and
I'm not really worried about my kids. I'm worried about your kids. I'm worried about
your kids. No. You
can
worry about your kids. My kids don't do that kind of stuff. Okay,
well,
my kids watch the show
that?
Jackass, but my kids do not go around doing any of those things.
How do you know that, though,
okay?
Dave? How do you know
that? How do
that?
I know that?
Yes,
because we sit down and talk, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I do not allow
my
kids, number one. I do not allow my kids to do anything like that. You need to see a psychologist.
I got
to ask a question.
I got to ask a question here. What do you mean your kids don't do it irresponsibly?
I mean that when my children defecate into a casserole dish, they do it responsibly. It's a joke. It's not done irresponsibly the way Dave's children, and I don't mean any offense to Dave.
That's called sick. It's not called responsible.
It's just that I'm a hands-on parent. I don't know how hands-on you are. Are you
I'm very hands-on, but I'm
You're
not that kind of hands-on, okay? Because I'm not going to pick up and defecate.
Yes, I'm hands-on, whatever hands-on means. I mean, I pay...
Well, I'm hands-on, and I don't let my son irresponsibly, and there's a big difference here, urinate into a snow cone.
Well, what's responsibly urinating into a snow cone?
Knowing that you don't have infection, doing it as a joke, having fun having fun with it. Do you have a daughter, Dave?
Yeah, I have three daughters.
Okay. What if my son peed into a snow cone and gave it to your daughter as a joke? Now, that's the pivotal thing.
I would go to your house and have a serious talk with you. Okay? I'd take you out to the woodshed if I could.
Oh, really? You'd hit a woman?
No. I wouldn't hit
you. You're not going to hit a woman. That's my wife.
You're missing my point. I'd take you out to the woodshed, okay, and have a serious talk with you because you know what? That's cemented. Mm-hmm. So if it's okay, if that's responsible, your kids are responsible. So here's a hit of crack. Go ahead and smoke it responsibly. What's the difference? Where do you draw the line?
Here's the difference. My son Jeff jumped off his BMX bicycle off of the roof into a pool responsibly. He landed in the pool. His friend landed on the cement. His friend was irresponsible. Do you understand?
Let's say, Bobby, before your son jumped off the roof with the bike, that he ran into a pipe, okay, fell over, broke his neck, and God forbid he died.
But
is that responsible?
He wouldn't because he's not
irresponsible.
No, he's not irresponsible.
You know,
what I'm worried about.
You're living a fairy tale life. You have to get a grip of yourself.
My boy jumped off the roof and landed in the pool, and the Housley kid landed on the cement.
What happened to the Housley kid?
He landed on the cement.
Yeah, but what happened to him?
I think it was a broken pelvis.
Broken pelvis. See?
That is irresponsible, Dave.
No,
well,
Bobby.
I don't
Bobby,
know. All right.
A parent should not let their child do anything like that.
All right, thanks for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Bobby Dooley is with us on the Phil Henry Show. We're talking about the Jackass movie. Here is Ricardo. Go ahead, Ricardo.
Yeah, okay. Hi, how are you?
Good.
I am sorry, but I have heard about what that woman said. I forgot her name.
Mm-hmm.
What's her name? What's
my
your name again?
My name's Bobby. What's yours?
Bobby, my name is Ricardo. Excuse me?
Go ahead, will you? Let's go. Come on. We got about 30 seconds.
Now, this is what happened here.
Ricky Ricardo.
I think that you're forgetting your kid's not better than anybody else's.
Yes, my
son goes to church every Saturday.
Okay, this is what we're getting down to. You think your kid's better than
other
kids.
We teach him to be away from movies like that. We don't teach him to taste what the movie says.
Look, Ricardo.
Like you did with your sons being in the cone, I think is quite
your son
incredible
is
that you're letting your son doing that and give it to someone else. I never put
that
in my life.
He does it responsibly.
We got to take a break. I still would like to know what peeing into a snow cone responsibly is.
I told you. He doesn't have any infection.
Might as well taste like lemonade.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Bobby thinks all of your kids will do the stuff in the Jackass movie and jeopardize her kids because her kids are responsible. We'll be right back. 1-800-449-8686.
This is the Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
All right, now you guys are out in front of it, right?
We are trying to get people... Hold on, Phil. We're trying to get people out at the bus. And, so that's...
Uh, I know there's a lot of confusion going on out there right now.
So, Steve, we are trying to get people into the movie right now to see Jackass so they can see for themselves a movie that their children will watch and then duplicate the stunts for.
Their children, but not yours.
No.
And yet you admit that your kid peed into a snow cone.
Yes, he did.
Well, that was one of the stunts in Jackass, wasn't it?
Yes, but he did it for fun. And Jackass does it as a cruel, cruel way of manipulating other people. And that's the difference. Do you know, Phil, what coprophagy is?
What?
Coprophagy?
No, I don't.
Eating feces. Now, they do it in Jackass. My boys attempted it, but it was fun. It was fun.
Attempted eating feces and it was fun?
Yes.
Isn't that like cruel?
1-800-449-8686. Let's go over to Tracy. Tracy, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
One, there's absolutely no way a urine snow cone is responsible in any shape or form.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you have your child absolutely tested right before he does that, you don't know that he has nothing.
Well, are you a nurse?
It doesn't matter, ma'am. Are you a nurse? It doesn't matter.
Are you a doctor?
You don't give
are you a doctor?
Some girl a urine snow cone.
Mm-hmm.
If someone did that to my daughter, there would be repercussions.
Well, I
think
don't
personally
know
someone
was,
should
was,
give
was,
you a glass of pee and make you drink it and see how you feel about it.
Oh, you're very adult, aren't you?
Oh.
You're very grown up.
So are you, lady.
A glass of pee.
You do not
aren't
need to be on any kind of a parent-teacher board, and you definitely shouldn't be on the homeowner.
Somebody gave you a glass of pee.
Lady, I'm not, my children would never even consider giving some person other than well, anybody, period, a pee snow cone. Ever. They know better. They would stop somebody from doing that.
Okay, well, my kids are better than your kids. I don't know what to tell you.
Oh, yeah, your kids are giving people pee snow cones. My kids are not. Yeah,
my
I'll
kids,
take my kids over
my
your kids,
kids
any day of the
yours.
Week, lady.
My kids are fun. They're funny.
Oh, well, my kids are fun and funny, too,
really,
but they're not...
I'm afraid of
they're
the
not
day.
Giving anybody pee snow cones.
I'm afraid of the day when your kids go and see the movie, the Jackass... what is the film called?
Jackass.
Because your kids will go home and try to cook their own feces in a frying pan.
Do you want to bet?
Oh, God, please.
You are
do
crazy,
I hear
lady.
That?
No, they will, because that's the way most of you people are.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't identified yet, Bobby, as to why it is you think your kids are better than everybody else's kids.
I don't know what it is. It's a sense that I have. I'm more hands-on.
Yeah, you're hands-on. You've been telling me you're hands-on since 4 o'clock. What else?
Because Dylan, Seth, and Justin grew up with a wonderful sense of humor. They grew up with their grandfather's sense of humor. Other kids aren't funny. My kids are hilarious.
All the kids like to come over here because they think our kids are really funny.
Yeah, my kids are really funny, but the other kids are not. And so when they come to our house, they're dull, and we have to sort of break out the party favors. One time, Steve put a bottle rocket. And I don't know whether you're probably not going to approve of this, but Steve put a bottle rocket up his rectum and then lit it.
Oh, yeah, and it was a lot of fun.
In front of other kids?
In front of other boys. There's a difference. No girls, just boys.
There's no girls there, just boys.
What, you shot a bottle rocket out of your butt?
In the movie.
Yes, it was in the Jackass movie. And
what is Jackass?
That is the French version of it. Hello?
I'm here. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Linda on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Is this woman smoking crack?
We saw it in a... I'm
there
sorry.
There is no difference. There is nothing funny about peeing in a snow cone. You need
not
some counseling
to
find
not
out the difference between being responsible
not
and being irresponsible.
Not to
period.
You.
The
to
end.
To the children. The children think it's... Oh, really? Then how come the movie's making so much money?
I wouldn't give them a penny because idiots like you go to see it.
They don't care. They don't care if they're missing your money. Our children are going to see it. Your children are going to see it.
My children are not going to see it.
Oh, sure.
You need to take your hands on self and take your hands and your feet and walk yourself to some serious counseling.
Why? Because I love my children?
Because you have got issues.
I'm hands on. Are you?
Your hands should be tied up and... kept from ever parenting again.
You know something? You haven't said anything about what a good parent you are. I don't even think you have kids.
I have three children.
Okay.
Thank
how do you,
you
know,
very much.
How do you know they're not going to see the movie?
Because I know where they are at all times of the day.
Well, you had better get ready to see your children crap in the turkey this Thanksgiving. Because
you are smoking crap. Please tell me you are.
What's going on?
Well, these are the
stunts. You are not only that, you are wasting the airwaves.
Oh, really?
You need to give it up.
I'm more interesting than you.
Why don't you go back into your movie Jackass and find some more stunts for your funny children who are better than anyone else to go do?
Well, they really are. They really are.
Well, I am so glad you have that perception.
Well,
they need to be living in the cage.
Fortunately for me,
you need to be in the cage next to
I am the president of our homeowners association, and I forced all the other parents to see this movie so that my kids don't have to be exposed to children such as yours taking a dump in a Thanksgiving turkey. Thank you very much.
What homeowners association are you involved with?
None of your business.
None of your beeswax.
I would just like to make sure I never moved into that community.
Oh, well, we wouldn't have you. We don't take Jews.
Oh, my God.
And you perceive I'm a Jew how?
Because of the loud, cranky sound of your voice.
It's not kind of whiny.
Well, I happen to be a Christian, and maybe you should try
it.
That, too. You'd figure out
it.
How whacked you are.
I got it.
I got it.
I apologize, Linda, for that, and to all of my Jewish listeners for that anti-Semitic remark.
She is out of control. You need to cut her off the airwaves now.
You know, I hope someone craps in your pumpkin.
Is a piece of work. Okay. I'm not sure I'd ever listen to this show again.
Let me pee in your snow cone.
Yeah, but do it responsibly, would you?
Okay.
Because that might be then called, what, funny?
Whatever you say.
I can no longer waste my time on
that. If my husband peed into your snow cone responsibly, would that be all right?
There's no such thing as peeing in a snow cone responsibly.
Exactly. There is no such thing.
You don't get it. There's no such thing. Nothing about that is funny.
You
no matter
never,
who does
you
it.
You haven't seen Jackass, so how do
Nor
you know?
Nor would I waste my money
well,
on
then
it.
Well, you have to know what you're talking about, okay? And if your children love it and you don't know what they're talking about, you're not hands-on.
You don't
well, you
really
hang your
know
phone up if you're going to hang up.
Means.
What do you mean, Jackass? I saw it in a French art house. All right, well, just remember, folks, when your kids go to see Jackass, make sure they pee into a snow cone responsibly. All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Don't forget to visit our website, philhenryshow.com.
1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Show
1-800-449-8686. Okay, where are we? Oh, yeah, hi. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com. And the Jackass movie has been, you know, it's been ripped by so many different critics and the like, but everything I've heard about it, and I haven't seen it yet, sounds hysterical, including the snow cone with the urine. Now, you got to understand something, and I dare you to answer this question honestly. When I was growing up, now understand that Jackass is the movie based upon the TV show that featured a performer, and I use the term loosely, named Johnny Knoxville, who would attach electrodes to his testicles and ride down hills in shopping carts and go through tons and tons of different forms of self-abuse for the entertainment of the audience. And for some reason, and I don't know what it is, it's kind of funny to watch guys blowing themselves up and attaching electrodes to their testicles and stuff like that. It's just funny. It's funny to hear about it, and it's funny to watch it. Don't ask me to explain that to your average movie critic. I don't know that he gets it, honest to God. I think that things have gotten, you know, movies have gotten so beyond everybody. It's just an art form now, isn't it? Everything's an art form. And everything has to be reviewed in the context of art. Like, Knoxville gets shot with a beanbag from a shotgun. Imagine a guy just standing there and allowing himself to get shot with a beanbag. It's funny. It's just funny. But you see, if you got these guys that are paid, I don't know how much bread to review movies, and they're used to the latest from Ingmar Bergman or the latest from Johnny Rotten or Johnny Depp or Yo Mama or, you know, whatever, they have to review this in the context of the decline of Western civilization or some kind of crud like that. They can't see it as just a modern-day Three Stooges, can they? They can't see it. The Three Stooges used to stick their fingers in each other's eyes, hit each other with frying pans, hit each other with those big sledgehammer. What were those big damn, you know, those big hammers, those cartoon hammers is what I call them. What the hell they use those things for? Hit each other with cartoon hammers, and they would pull each other's noses, and they would do the most outrageous stuff. You know, their neck would get stretched out of place. Is it because it wasn't real that it was funny, and because this is real that it is funny? I don't know. But I do think that people need to start to get down off of their high horse, get out of the ivory tower, and let's get real, man. The world is changing more rapidly than you can well imagine, my friends. And if you're the kind of guy that reviews film as opposed to reviewing a movie, then maybe you ought to just take a nap. In any event, I was going to say, when I was a kid, there was a guy named Evel Knievel. We all, some of us, to some degree, more than others, we all remember Evel Knievel. Evel Knievel was a daredevil. That's what they called a daredevil. Evel Knievel would jump 16 or 17 trailers, tractor trailers, lined up perpendicular to his jump ramp, and he would jump these at Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas on a motorcycle. He would go up the ramp, fly over it, and land. This was, I remember watching television, and don't forget Evel Knievel this Friday night at Caesar's Palace. It was always a big attraction, and people wanted to go up to Vegas to see him do his latest stunt. And then, of course, in the 70s, he attempted to jump Snake River Canyon, which is in Idaho, with some kind of a rocket cycle that he had developed with a parachute attached to it. Well, this was all exciting, and we watched it. Now, Evel Knievel, by his own account, has claimed that he's broken every bone in his body. Every bone in his body. Now, it's thrilling to watch him do that. And are you going to blame me if I laugh if he crashes the bike? And yet nobody would criticize me for wanting to go see Evel Knievel do that stunt. However, for some reason, Johnny Knoxville goes down a steep hill in a shopping cart, and they're rolling enormous cement blocks at the shopping cart. For some reason, this isn't right. For some reason, we shouldn't film this. A guy attaching electrodes to his nipples and then turning on cranking a battery is wrong because why? Let me ask you a question and answer this question honestly. Answer it honestly. What would you rather do? What would you rather do? Jump 16 trucks on a motorcycle or eat a urine-soaked snow cone? You're damn right you'd go for that snow cone, Jim. So what does that make you now? And it's funny, isn't it? It's funny that we're presented with that challenge, and it's funny that we picked the snow cone. Tell me that you wouldn't, if you had a video camera, videotape that. Now, America's Funniest Home Videos is discounted as silly, and yet, the fact is, Jackass grew out of America's Funniest Home Videos. It grew out of how funny it is to see a guy get hit in the balls with a baseball. And there isn't a comedy on television that doesn't capitalize in one way or another on some guy getting it in the groin with a baseball. It's a riot to see it, and it's over and over and over again do we see it in films and television. And then, of course, they recreate it to some degree. In comedy, on the big screen. But now we have Johnny Knoxville hitting himself in the balls with a beanbag from a shotgun, and suddenly this is not worthy entertainment. if you laugh at it and you like it, it's worthy entertainment. And if Evel Knievel can jump 16 trucks with a motorcycle and break every bone in his body and be called a daredevil, then Johnny Knoxville can shoot himself with a beanbag right in his crotch, and I call him a daredevil too. What do you think of that? Anybody disagree with that? You couldn't possibly disagree with it. Not after I laid it out the way I laid it out. How many times have you seen a friend of yours, like, roll off the roof of a house after drinking too much and not laugh? I'm telling you, one morning I woke up, I was up at Yellama State Beach, and a friend of mine had gone to sleep. He put up a fire break between the cars, and he woke up, and the thing had burned up from the campfire, and he was laying like 2 feet from this thing. I laughed my ass off. He could have died. Not only that, but the cars could have exploded from the gasoline going up. You see somebody fall out of a boat, you see somebody fall off of a pier or a diving board, you see someone see a ladder collapse. You see a ladder collapse. I saw a friend of mine when I was working in construction years ago fall into a septic tank. You don't think I wasn't laughing? It was the funniest damn thing I'd ever seen. You know what a septic tank is? You know what's in it. I saw him fall right into one. It was down in Florida back in the day. I don't even know if they have sewer systems yet in Orlando. They were using septic tanks out there. It's funnier than hell. And that's why people are going to see this movie. And if you go and you enjoy an Evel Knievel, then you're going to go and you're going to enjoy Knoxville. And you guys with the movie reviews, you know, why don't you give it a rest? And why don't you quit everything being art? Why don't you knock it off with that? This is what's empowering the Susan Sarandons, the Barbara Streisands, and half of the celebrities that went out to these anti-war demonstrations this past weekend. They're artists, you see. And as artists, well, they have something to say. All right, if you got something to say, go say it in a movie. And if it is art, if film is art, then unfortunately you're going to have to start looking at Jackass in the terms of that. I tell you, it's performance art as far as I'm concerned. Peeing into a snow cone. Performance art. 1-800-449-8686. The website, philhendryshow.com. We got a brand new featured link this week. Brand new sound up on the website. Oh, did we miss... was I on this freaking... Oh, there's the Jackass review. What happened with Fox? We'll have to check it out.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. Extreme Radio. This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. And we had our My Friend's Place fundraiser on Saturday night. And I want to thank the people that showed up to take part in our silent auction and our dinner and the entertainment and the fundraiser, because it raised some good bread for the people at My Friend's Place out on Hollywood Boulevard. And the reason why I wanted to take this moment is because when you guys buy my CD off of my website, that's where your money's going. You're going to a organization that has people who volunteer to sit here at the Resource Center and sit in the day room when these kids come off the street and try to give them a little job counseling, give them some medical attention, give them a place to sit to talk to, maybe use a phone, to maybe use a computer, to maybe pick up a piece of clothing. It's not a shelter. It's a place that literally attempts to change the lives of these kids, not through, not through just sheltering them and sort of giving them the proverbial fish, but giving them the proverbial fishing pole. So we raised some money on Saturday night, and I thank everybody for being there and for those of you who buy our CD. And I did see someone there, Debbie Boone, the singer, and very nice lady. And she was there with her husband, and she said to me that her father, Pat Boone, has cranked this show. And I said, what are you talking about? She said, my dad called your show one night, and you didn't know that it was him, and you didn't know that he was just cranking you, was playing along, even though he knows that you do the voices of those characters. And I said, why, you dirty, filthy... No, I didn't say. I said, well, that's really funny. I said, well, more power to your pops for doing that, because if anybody can get through and effectively crank this program, by God, you are welcome at any time. And by the way, Chris Pelton, my screener, you're fired. So Pat Boone crank called this radio show. That's sweet. And if he crank called this radio show, I can only imagine the shows that he's cranked, including probably Dennis Prager, Ray Bream, and George Putnam. What if Pat Boone has crank called Putnam? Anyway, so it was a very nice evening, raised a lot of bread. It was at the American Legion Hall over on Highland in Hollywood, and the folks were solid. And halfway through the night, somebody walks up and says, it's Angels 6-5. When I got out of the car, it was 5-0. And when someone walks over and says, it's Angels 6-5, that was quite an exciting moment for me, because not that I'm an Angel fan, quite the opposite, I'm a Dodger fan. But anybody that can take the Giants out of another World Series is okay by me. So nice going, Angels. Good job, Mike Socha. See you later, Giants. Once again. Can't win anything, can you, up there? Football ain't bad, but when it comes to baseball, maybe it would have been better if you guys had moved to Tampa. Because that ball club they got down there now, at least you give them a fighting chance down there in Tampa Bay. Because as long as you're the San Francisco Giants, you will never win a World Series. You can count on that. And I said it on Friday. I'm on a run here, baby. I mean, on a big-time roll. I picked the whole sniper thing. I said the Giants were going to suck. I said the Angels in six. I said, you mean it was seven? I said a lot of stuff. All right. Dear Mr. Henry, I'm a 47-year-old nurse who commutes from Glendale to San Pedro three times a week. Several weeks ago, I tuned into your show at approximately 7:10 in the evening. I have never heard of you nor your show. I usually listen to music, but I wanted to listen to talk radio so that I could stay awake. Well, to say the least, I was dumbfounded and surprised at the phone guest that you had on that evening. It was a guy at a print shop being sued and was suing for ultrasound pictures of babies and for the ultrasound picture of a baby penis. By the time I got home, it was about 8, and I couldn't believe what I'd heard. Could this be real? Is this guy real? Are these real people? I stressed over it until the next day. Boy, that's really needing a life, stressing over a talk show. But, you know, I appreciate that, Darcy. And she said, I stressed over it until the next day, and my coworker said that it was a comedy show and that it was me doing all the voices. Now I'm a fan. You're hilarious. Thanks for a very pleasant commute. Sincerely, Darcy Hayhurst, San Pedro, California. So there in a nutshell is how we do the show. And at least that's somebody who finds out how we do the show, and they're not all mad and bent out of shape about it. So our number is 1-800-449-8686. This past weekend, there were a variety of anti-war demonstrations across the country, and they would like to believe they had 150,000 in Washington, but it was more like 50,000. These were against the possibility of war with Iraq. And many of these demonstrations accused President Bush of genocide, and a lot of them said that this war was genocidal, and some of them said no war for oil, and there were a lot of the very predictable phrases that were being used by people who were protesting this war. And I thought, are these guys still at this, man? Haven't they figured out by now that most of us realize that this is nothing more than a collection of people who wish desperately they were born a little bit earlier than they were, who want this so much to be the Vietnam War, and it's not, who wants so much for this to be another example of the military-industrial complex gone mad, and it's not, who want this to be another example of America living fat and happy and safe and just going over and terrorizing an innocent populace, and it's not, who want this to be another example of how the artistic community of Hollywood, in conjunction with the other artistic people of this nation, be it the literati, be it the artists, the musicians, banding together against the totalitarian and fascistic impulses of this power apparatus, and it ain't. As I said 2 weeks ago, these people are involved in a fashion statement. They're all out there with the appropriately, you know, the appropriately painted little peace buttons, and they have the nicely silk-screened anti-war signs. Some of them were flying Iraqi flags. Can anybody explain that to me? Why was that? The only thing that I really resent is that I'm not going to be heard in Los Angeles for another hour and a half. See, we're on tape delay in L.A. So I just, because L.A. is a marvelous hotbed for a lot of our friends from the Middle East, some of whom may be Iraqi expatriates, and some of whom may think that Iraq is just the greatest thing that has ever happened to the world. But be that as it may, I wish I could take some live phone calls from those guys. Oh, well. I will say this. Is there anybody that can explain to me why, or I will ask this question, why the Iraqi flag is being flown at these demonstrations? Is that in solidarity with the Iraqi people? If there's solidarity at all for the Iraqi people or with the Iraqi people, why does it begin the criticism with the President of the United States? Why doesn't it start with the guy that runs that country over there, a scumbag that killed his own people to the tune of some 3 million, a dirtbag who starves his own people because what money does come into that country, he keeps for himself, because there is a food for oil program in place in Iraq. But I guess that's our fault too, isn't that right? Yeah, okay. And exactly what do you hope to accomplish by saying that we should not preempt Iraq from building nuclear weapons? Are you saying that if we leave them alone, then they won't attack? Is this the same kind of cowardly line that we've been hearing for years, which is, if we keep our hands off, then maybe they'll be good enough not to hurt us? If we apologize for killing 3,000 Americans, if we apologize to them, you know, for what we've done to them and hope that they don't murder another 3,000 Americans, will that keep them from doing it? What kind of a fantasy land, man? What do you think, this is 1967? Bush is a mass murderer? Do you really believe that? Of course you don't. You're a dishonest hypocrite. And I'm not talking to you guys. I'm talking to these jive-ass actors. Would you just go back on the set and go over to craft services and get yourself some crap to eat and sit down? You are a hypocrite and a liar, and beyond that, you don't even know what it is you're talking about. Bush is a mass murderer. Really, where? Where? Show me where. The Iraqi sanctions, I see. Those are UN instituted, by the way. Not the United States. United Nations. There's a Security Council. There is a consensus of opinion that must be in place for those sanctions to be in place. So this isn't George Bush. And I'll tell you something else. The Russians right now are taking criticism for storming that theater, killing those 50 terrorists, and rescuing as many people as they could. They're taking criticism because they used gas that killed some of the hostages. And do you think they care? Do you think the Russian government cares what you think? The answer is no. Should they? No, they shouldn't. Because this is where we are right now. Terrorists have to be dealt with. And if you and I get caught in a crossfire, tough. I'm ready to go down. Those people on 93 were ready to go down. And guess what? There's some people that got caught in a crossfire in Moscow. You think that this is all no fuss, no muss? You think that this is all just driving through the drive-through there at McDonald's? We're going to grab that bag of fries, get that Coke, get that burger, and I'm on my way, baby. You think it's just another bottle of Excedrin, another bottle of Advil to keep you from cramping? You think you can avoid the pain forever? Do you think you can avoid the pain forever? No. So when they drop the gas in Moscow and they drop the plane in Pennsylvania, some people died. But you know who else got wasted? Those scumbags from the Chechen, whatever the hell it's called, whatever those guys are, I wouldn't know and I wouldn't care. They're covered in freaking camel dung because they think it's soap. Or those four guys that were flying that plane, those Al-Qaeda marvelous guys, they got cooked. You know, some people are going to get caught in a crossfire. Some people are going to get dropped. That's the battle that we're in right now. But everybody likes to think that we're still back there in the good old days when it was a no fuss, no muss world. It's just a, you know, somehow we can keep it at arm's length. Somehow we can actually indulge in this no war for oil. There is no such thing as no war for oil. There has to be a war for oil. Are you ready? to burn kerosene? Are you ready to be running around in a horse and buggy? Probably not that, but are you ready not to be able to get in your car whenever you want to because they have to ration the gasoline? You remember how it was in 73 and 79? It could happen that way again, only much worse. Of course you're not. There's this, I don't know what it is, but I think it's cowardice more than anything else that prompts people to hit the street against the war in Iraq. Just flat cowardice. I think that 9/11 gave people a taste of what the world might become in the next few decades, and they don't want any part of it, and they're willing to do anything, bend over, spread as far as they can, an industrial-sized jar of Vaseline at the bedstand, whatever it is they got to do, they'll do to keep that big old bad war from their doorstep. Well, you ain't going to be able to do it, Charlie, or should I say Susan, or Barbara, or whoever the hell else you guys are boring this week. Do me a favor, huh? Make a good movie. I'd much rather see you in a nice movie lately. What have you done lately, Susan? What was that, Bull Durham, the last thing? I don't even know what the hell she's been in lately. How about Barbara? How about the other guy that was opening his big bazoo? Who was it? You know? Tim Robbins? Oh, him too? All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, and our website, philhenryshow.com.
1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, Extreme Radio.
And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
I've got a flashback for you here from Friday's show. Dean Wheeler was on. He is, of course, Dr. Dean Wheeler, although he doesn't have a degree in anything. He just calls himself doctor. And he's saying that women will forgive you guys for cheating on them if you just offer them something nice. Offer them a nice gift. Tell them that, hey, look, baby, at least I didn't die in the World Trade Center. You know, maybe she'll forgive you.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Went to my wife and said, honey, look, guess what? Just be glad that I'm alive today. You know, I had sex with another woman. Just be glad that I'm alive. Thank God that I'm here. I wouldn't live very much longer.
No. Sir, I think you misunderstand me. What I'm trying to say is this. Don't use it as an excuse, but if you find yourself in that situation, there are ways to find a woman who is more forgiving.
Well, are you saying to hide it from a woman or what?
Yeah, you say there's ways to find a woman that's more forgiving. Yes. So you're saying if my wife won't let me cheat on her for any reason, unless I buy her a diamond or unless I buy her a new Mercedes or something like that, then I should leave her and find a woman that is stupid enough to let me cheat on her. Insane, and you're not a doctor.
I prefer to be called doctor, please.
Well, you don't have a doctorate.
Wonderful. Right, sir, exactly. You're not even a mister.
Sir, if you for whatever reason, let's say you were in the Army.
I was in the Army.
All right. Were you married at the time?
Yeah, we were married at the time.
All right. What if you came home with venereal disease? How are you going to explain that away?
There would be no explaining it.
I'm telling you that there is.
Can I ask you a question?
No, Howard, hold on. I am telling you that there is a way.
And no.
So you're actually saying this guy comes home with a pantload of venereal disease. He's going to, his wife.
You guys can laugh, but there is a way to get forgiveness out of your wife. I know women who will forgive cheating.
Yeah, you know what? You probably pay those women. Do you get paid for this therapy you're offering or whatever
course,
it is?
Of course I do, but it works.
Well,
it
more,
works.
More power to you.
All right.
I mean, it's wonderful that you live in a capitalist country with ignorant people.
No, it works, okay? I know women. Listen, you guys.
I mean, you know what? You should get down on your knees every day, literally. And you should thank God
that there are
an abundance of insane women in this
All right,
country.
I'll tell you, there are women out there that will forgive cheating for a short stack.
Oh, That's what I want, Phil. That's what I want. We're lining up for women that'll forgive cheating for a short stack of pancakes. You know what? Wonderful, wonderful. Where are they at?
Absolutely,
man? I mean, what do they look like?
Absolutely ridiculous.
I'm
ridiculous.
Saying, you're sitting here talking about your wife lets you have sex with fat women. Well, I'm sure that those women probably would forgive you for having sex with somebody for a short stack of pancakes, man. Come on, give yourself a break. Give everybody else a break, Phil.
Howard,
you need to turn this guy off. This guy's an idiot. He's a complete idiot.
Howard, I'd like to say this, okay? That if you come to our workshop, with your wife, you'll find out.
Why would anybody want to go to a workshop? I got an idea. How about just having a good marriage, be faithful to your wife, and then we'll never need your freaking workshop.
Hey, there you go. Yeah, there you
well,
go.
Well, I don't know what kind
of... I'd like to go to his workshop.
No kidding.
Because I'm going to tell you, I don't believe that you could find a bigger collection of morons in one room than you could in this guy's workshop. I mean, I'm not putting you down.
Oh, no, you're not putting me down. No, no, not at all. No.
No, I'm just saying, you're dealing with morons and idiots, you know?
I'm trying to repair marriages. I'm trying to repair...
Yeah, I agree with the other lady. You're encouraging cheating. And what do you mean my wife
would kill me. My wife would absolutely do away with me.
Let go of your fear. Let go of your fear. I'm telling you...
You're telling guys, I got a surefire way for you to cheat on your wife and still have your wife stay home.
I kind of resent the way you put it.
No, that's exactly the cheap, carny way that it is.
That's exactly what it is.
What is wrong with knowing a woman who is so loving that she will forgive your cheating on her if you bought her breakfast at IHOP?
All right, both
of you guys are insane.
Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, that's we're just nuts if we can't buy into that concept. I'll tell you what, I'd like to meet her. If she would forgive me my cheating for a short stack and pigs in a blanket at IHOP, Jim, I want to meet her and know her and love her. In fact, I think I do. Her name's Maria. She's my wife. have you ever talked to your wife or your girlfriend and she said the following words, if you ever did that, I would shoot you? You must, Craig. Come on. If you live long enough, there'll be a woman in your life who will threaten to shoot you. Forget about what men threaten women with, and it's terrible, and there's no doubt about it. But women, make no mistake, they'll take a carving knife to you, pal. All right, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Extreme Radio.
Somebody has a very cool website. Go to this. It's http://members.cox.net/phil_hendry/album-cover-album.htm. Now I'm out of breath. I can't even tell you what it's about. Just go there. All right, here's Larry. Hi, Larry. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, Phil, I'd like to make a comment about the peacenik anti-war protesters.
Okay.
And it's really interesting, and you'll love this observation. In 1958, you know how they're carrying the peace signs around?
In 1958? I was in kindergarten.
Well, in 1958, the peace symbol was designed, and it stands for the English symbols or English semaphores for the letters N and D, which stands for nuclear disarmament. So these protesters are out here carrying these peace signs around that are basically telling Bush to do what we're trying to do, disarm nuclear.
Well, it's not an intelligent anti-war movement. It's not an intelligent... This is not what I would call the cream of the intelligentsia of America.
in this particular anti-war movement. This is a lot of wannabes. This is a lot of Johnny-come-latelys. These are the guys that started smoking pot right after you did and thought Rare Earth was a good band. You know what I'm talking about.
Well, they don't understand that there's a lot of evil people on this planet and have been since the conception of man.
No, I mean, maybe they do understand that, but we're probably, you know, there's a difference of opinion as to how to deal with them. Thanks for calling. Here's Tim on the Phil Henry Show. Tim?
Hey, how are you, man?
Fine, how are you?
Good. Hey, man, let me tell you something. I've been in the military for the last 6 years, and you know what? I support, I mean, what President Bush is doing is great, and us going over there, it's about time. And these people that are saying, I mean, right after September 11th, we were all big on going to Afghanistan. It's like everybody was like, yeah, let's back them up, let's do this, let's do that. But, you know, recruiting never went up. No one wants to do it. So it's like picking a fight and sending your big brother into the fight. And see, everybody wants to support the U.S., and all of a sudden now they don't. And it's like everybody's like picking and choosing lately. Like, okay, we'll support them on this, but not this. Well, so it's just like people just don't want to back us anymore.
Well,
it's really starting to irritate me.
starting to get to you, huh?
Yeah,
well,
a little bit.
The war has been brought here to our soil. The war has been brought here to the United States. At what point do you say, now's the time for me to pick up a gun and fight for my country? Or isn't that cool? You know, sometimes I get the sense that loving your country ain't cool. Or standing up like a man and picking up a gun if you have to and defending your homeland is not hip. Look, I'm not talking about any political party here. I don't care about either one of them. I care about the flag. I care about my country. I care about my kids. I happen to like my community, and I happen to like other people in this country. And when they carved up 3,000 Americans in one fell swoop, and then they hit the Pentagon, and then some, you know, 10 or 12 or 4 Americans had the guts to bring down another plane that was on its way to the White House and to Capitol Hill, I figured it was my duty, for crying out loud. My duty. You know, I was thinking about this driving over to work today. I said this on the show before. It bears repeating. You know, we have an artist community in this country that loves to dabble in politics. Dabble. You know, the Solzhenitsyns of the world and the artists that spent time in the Gulag and the poets and musicians that have had their fingernails pulled out in prisons in South America and the White Rose of Nazi Germany and the French Resistance. These are revolutionaries. These are revolutionary artists. This isn't Bab Streisand sitting out there near the fire pit in Malibu. This isn't Susan Sarandon picking and choosing when it's cool to stand in front of 40,000 people and say Bush is a mass murderer with absolutely no intellectual. There's absolutely nothing to back that up. There's no intellectual substance. There's no historical evidence. There's no contemporary evidence. There's nothing. It's just a lot of rhetoric and bravado, and it's really insulting. But there are artists worldwide who have had to pay with their lives because they truly did battle totalitarian regimes. They truly did fight fascist and communist dictatorships, and they've never been found. I mean, these bodies are missing. The people are missing. They're the casualties of a brave fight. The day I see one of our artists in this country go to jail for something more than shoving 6 rocks up his nose, then I'll applaud. Okay. The day I see one of our American actors go to a jail cell or a prison cell for something more than weaving his freaking Rolls-Royce down PCH, then maybe I'll take notice. But as long as I got the Nick Nolte's getting dragged into a freaking holding tank looking like something the cat dragged in. And then Barbara Streisand saying she's going to leave the country if Bush is elected. Well, no, maybe on second thought I won't. And Alec Baldwin, I'll leave the country if Bush is elected. Look, I didn't vote for Bush. I didn't want him as president. And I thought the guy was one big fat blur before 9/11. Now the guy has sunk his teeth into something, and it just so happens to be a very important issue. Maybe you agree, maybe you don't. What do you think? The survival of the country. You think that's a big enough issue? And let's take the money that we would put into Iraq into social programs. Which ones are those? What better social program is there than to make sure that we don't get another 3,000 people butchered up? You have got to be stupid. I mean, you really got to be stupid or cowardly or both, because there's no intellectual basis for any of this. None whatsoever. It's either stupidity, cowardice, or it is a fashion statement. It is a level of chic. You think you see an American poet or actor or writer or musician going to jail for a cause? I mean, really a worthy cause. Not Woody Harrelson hanging off the Golden Gate. Look, dude, I don't want to get into my drug use. I don't want to get into the history of my recreational drug use. Let's just say I've smoked marijuana. And let's just say that I like marijuana. Let's just say that. Even I am not getting up every morning stressing and wringing my hands over the decriminalization of the weed. Frankly, and I don't want to insult anybody here, frankly, if you get busted holding, you're one of the dumber human beings that I've met in my life. I'm looking at you, Chris, not Craig. Now, anyway, I'm kidding. I've smoked pot for years. I've never even come close to getting busted. What's going on out there anyway, man? If you're a little bit cooler with it, you'll be fine, okay? Don't go flashing some stick out there at a concert or whatever it is you're doing, driving down the road at 5 miles an hour, you know, in a lowrider that's like barely street legal, and it's 2 o'clock in the morning. Oh, well, I guess we're going to get pulled over. Gee, I wonder why. You know, and there's like... Hey, hold on, there's a car. Well, he doesn't know who to pass it to, and he doesn't, you know, by the time they decide they're going to eat the roach, well, the guy's got him out of the car. Really, dumb, 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 dumb. Now, Woody Harrelson, who's put all of his efforts behind, what is it? He wants to legalize what? Oh, hemp. What the hell is hemp? Oh, I get it. You can make dresses and crap out of it, and oh, yeah, smoke it. Oh, okay, good for you, Woody. You got to be putting me on. And then he comes out with a big statement that America is one of the most criminal enterprises. We're warmongers. We go to war against people of color. Yeah, thanks for the thanks for that heads up, white boy. They don't get any whiter than Woody Harrelson. I don't care if you made a movie with that. Who's the guy? Wesley Snipes, White Men Can't Jump. Whoop-de-doo, baby. So you made the big cultural, the subcultural statement, and, you know, Rosie Perez was your squeeze in the flick, and you probably kept up the relationship after the movie, what have you. Ain't she white? She ain't? She's Puerto Rican, I thought. And you were on Cheers. Look, the point is this. Go away, go far, far away. You and Johnny Depp, too. Although Johnny's living in Paris now. Boy, I'll tell you what. With the exception of a few black jazz artists, any American that goes to live in Paris, don't you come back and live on my street. Louis Armstrong, I can understand. Some of those cats I get. But any white man that goes to live, white American that goes to live in Paris, don't you ever come back here and live on my street. Oh, well, I know I beat up the French, but it's so much fun. So where were we this weekend? My wife said, geez, what is it with the French? I said, now you're finally getting it, aren't you? You're finally understanding it, aren't you? What happened? I'm talking to my father-in-law who was in the 8th Air Force during the Korean War. Now, he was in Europe. They were training NATO pilots. Now, the United States Air Force in Europe in 1950 through 1952 was a part of an occupational force. Why were we in Europe? Anybody want to raise their hand and answer? You got it. World War II, the Nazis. We had a hand in driving those guys out. As you know, we have literally thousands of our guys buried on French soil near the Normandy coast. American soldiers are buried there underneath the American flag. The 8th Air Force, in practicing their landings and takeoffs, would do these, obviously, on airstrips that were out in the countryside. And there's a, I guess there's a form of landing and takeoff that you have to land very quickly and take off quickly if the aircraft carrier is under assault, et cetera, et cetera. The touch and go is what you call it, Craig? The French farmers would herd their sheep out onto the runway so we couldn't do this. So that our pilots, literally endangering the lives of our pilots, because they wanted to make this statement that the American war machine will not control. What is it with you frogs anyway? Don't you get it, man? Some guys died to keep you cats out of harm's way. Now, I'm not saying that we want you to speak English. I'm not even saying that you got to have McDonald's in your country. For some reason, it seems to be flourishing. Don't blame me. McDonald's is there. People are going there. You have a couple of farmers down there blowing up McDonald's in the south of the country. I know what the hang-up is. And if you don't like Euro Disney, don't go there. And if you don't like Euro Disney, why did you give them the permit to build it there? I'm not saying any of that stuff. But what I am saying is this. How did you sink so low as a country, as a people, and as a society to pull some stunt like that not 5 years after we got your country freed of the Bolsh, of the Hun, that you, for whatever reason, were incapable of doing? And you'll notice that I'm being very kind when I say those words, because I could say a whole lot more. And let's be clear about something else. This French resistance that you cats love to talk about, they were communists. They were members of the Communist Party. These were not the good old liberty-loving French. These guys were commies. The only guys that had the guts to go down into the subway, take out a pistol, and shoot a German officer were the French resistance communists. So off of that subject, and more onto the point, how come you guys can't just live with the fact that your country isn't all that important anymore? Why don't you just live with the fact that there's other countries that are more important? Other countries have flourished more culturally. Other countries have flourished more militarily, more economically. Oh, I know one. Yeah, the United States of America. Ever heard of it? Sorry. I guess we could start to live worse so you could feel better. Russia and France blocking resolutions for us to deal in a forthright way with Iraq. Meanwhile, the Russians ain't pussyfooting around, Jack. They went in there with that poison gas, killed 116 people, but by God, they got those guys out of there. And you think the Chinese would wait? You think the Chinese would wait for a UN resolution? Would even wait for one? Remember that the Russians were the guys that shot that civilian airliner out of the sky with 300 people on board when it flew over restricted airspace. I know they were the communists then, but they were still the Russians. Don't think they wouldn't do the same thing now. They shot a civilian airliner out of the sky with 300 people on board, and they didn't make any apologies for it. And the United Nations can go pound it. China, you think they're going to wait around? Only the United States sits and waits politely for the UN. I'm not saying that I'm against it, but I'm saying that if you think that there's another country out there that would do the same thing, were they had they suffered the same assault that we did, you're dumb. You must be smoking pot with Woody Harrelson. There, is that enough? Is that good enough for you? Am I going to keep going? You get it? Do you understand? Do I need to clarify? Maybe I'll just blow out next hour's character bit, and I'll rant another hour on this stuff. What do you think of that? Think I'm going to care? Would the people call up and go, why doesn't Bill do a voice or something? This is really a lot of fun. Well, I'm not going to. I'm going to keep talking about this, and talking about this, and talking about this, until I can't stand it any longer. Until I just, it's like attaching electrodes to my nipples. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686, The world-famous Phil Henry Show, Extreme Radio. Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
So why don't we have some tickets to give away to Jackass? We got to get some tickets to give away on this show. We got to get a car to give away, a ceiling fan, a bed, a toaster oven, a pool table, some beach balls, a trampoline.
a chair, a box, a pen, some T-shirts. Well, we have T-shirts, but can't we give away movie tickets? This jackass looks pretty good. Listen to this. Johnny Knoxville trampolines into a ceiling fan. That's pretty good. He trampolines into a ceiling fan, then he attaches fireworks onto the heels of his roller skates to create an ill-fated Wile E. Coyote-style rocket skate that fuzzes, sparks, then slams his face onto the pavement. One cringingly hilarious sequence involves a doctor, involves a matchbox car, a condom, a handful of personal lubricant, and a trip to the doctor for an X-ray. And I think I can tell him because Craig saw the movie. Basically, what happens is the guy takes a matchbox car, puts it into a condom, shoves it up his rear end, and then goes to the doctor and says he's got backache or something, and he doesn't know what it is, and he needs an X-ray. So the next thing you know, the doctor's looking at an X-ray of the guy's ass with a car in it. You can't beat that. And then there's another one where apparently they put on some senior citizen masks and get on rascal scooters and set off through the city streets. That is sweet. That's Jackass appearing at a theater near you. Or did it just open in Los Angeles last week? It's probably opening nationwide this week somewhere. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Coming up next, we're going to be talking to Lloyd Bonafide about Halloween and property rights.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Henry Show.
And Mr. Bonafide, I understand you are at Knott's Scary Farm with your grandkids, right? Okay, Mr. Bonafide, are you with us?
Yes, sir.
And I understand you're at Knott's Scary Farm with your grandson?
Yes, I'm with my grandson, Daryl.
All right, you are with a group of people who are based, your homeowners throughout California who will not be threatened. You believe that Halloween essentially threatens homeowners. And, of course, we've heard this before. But the specific trick-or-treat is a threat?
Trick-or-treat is, Phil, we have to go back to the early part of this century. The term trick-or-treat was used by kids to mean, give me a treat, a candy treat, or there'll be a trick. And that would be putting soap on the window and putting toilet paper in the trees and so forth. Now, this is a direct threat of property damage. And while the early part of the century and the middle and latter parts of the last century dealt with this in a fairly benign way, since the attacks of 9/11 and the fact that we have boots on the ground in Afghanistan and Americans are threatened worldwide, it has come to the attention of homeowners throughout California, and hopefully this will take off across the country, that threat repeat.
All right, and I know that you're hitting the sound like you had some cell phone problems. Say it again.
That we will not be threatened, sir.
So trick-or-treat is a threat.
It is a threat of property damage.
And what is it that you are proposing?
Well,
Let me first ask you a question, if I could. When did this strike you? When did this idea strike you to get rid of the threat of trick-or-treat?
Well, Don Steelworth is a neighbor of ours. He and his wife had put up a ghost decoration out on the front lawn, and someone last year drew an obscene thing on it. And that's when we felt, by the way, he's all done with the foolishness, and he's on board with us. So you see, some of these kids did a trick, and it's because of that that we now are on this, are taking this tack.
They drew something on a decoration.
Yes, they did.
What was it?
Well, it was an obscene, let me say, sir, and I say I don't want to because I know you've got women listening. It was an obscene thing on the on the ghost.
All right, I'll let that go. But and you believe that...
Well, they did that because Don doesn't give out the candy after 8:30 at night, and these were teenagers that came around at 9, and they said, trick or treat, and Don said, I don't have any more for you. And the next thing you know, he came outside the next morning and saw that they had drawn this thing on the ghost.
Was it a dirty word or...
No, sir. It was an obscene thing that they drew on the ghost. And I really don't think it's necessary for me to say what it was.
All right. Now, when the kids show up at your house... And the kids show up at other homes in California who are part of your email tree, and I know you've got a phone tree and an email tree, what are they going to be required to say?
We are asking parents to tell their children to simply say, Happy Halloween. It's a very simple thing. It's what the day is about. It's not about trick-or-treat, because I can tell you this much, if I have one child say trick-or-treat to me, I will personally escort that thing off my property.
Okay, now you don't have a problem with the kids, do you?
No, sir, I don't, but I can tell you this much. We've had property damage on our street, and these little SOBs that do this, they could just as soon get off my property. So if they don't say Happy Halloween, if they say trick-or-treat, I will take that kid, if you want to call him that, I will escort him off my property, and I will tell the parent that they may escort themselves off my property. And at that point, I will call 911.
Okay, now here's the problem that I've got. You're jamming up the emergency lines with a call about property damage that hasn't taken place.
No, it is my right as a homeowner to protect my property. And if there's been a direct threat, as there had been 2 years ago with the Walsies down the street, you think this is just about putting toilet paper. They had someone put explosives in their mailbox. The Hendersons who live, Bill and Joyce Henderson, who live on Claridge Street, had someone put dog feces in a paper bag and set fire to it. And you know that, whether you have to step on that.
Yeah, well, that's a stunt.
That is a direct assault on someone's property. And if you don't think that is... the couple across the street from us, I don't know their name, they just moved in. Someone put dog feces on the seat of their brand new Yukon Denali. And that was last year. Last year as well, down the street, we had a Los Angeles County Sheriff officer who lives there with his family. And someone had put dog feces in his pool. And so you see, this becomes more than just a prank. This becomes a threat to property.
All right. Lloyd Bonafide with us, who believes that a kid saying trick or treat, it's not just a traditional thing that a kid says. It's a threat. It's a threat of property damage. And the only problem I've got with you, Mr. Bonafide, more than anything else, is the way you treat the kids, escorting them off the property.
I will. Yes. Well, you may not like it, sir, but that's my right. And I'll grab the little thing that the kid that said that, and I will get him off my property, and I will tell his parents to get the hell off my property as well.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686 is the number of the Phil Hendry Show. And if you're a little bit amused the way I am about this, please understand that Mr. Bonafide is serious.
Well, you call it amusing, Phil.
Well, I don't mean amusing, but... The idea of a kid saying trick or treat and you take that as a threat?
That is a direct threat, sir. You know, somebody putting dog feces on the seat of a brand new Yukon Denali or putting dog feces into my pool. Someone had, Bill Bagley has a beautiful train set in his garage, which he opens up for the children to see every Saturday morning. And someone put dog feces on the tracks and smeared it all over the trains. And do you find that...
It sounds to me like the work of the same kid.
Huh?
It sounds like it's the same kid.
Well, I don't know, but it is a direct threat against property. And I will tell you this, if a kid comes to my door and says, trick or treat, or whatever in the name of Jesus they say, I'll take him and I'll take his bag, and I will escort him off my property by the arm, and I will tell the parents to get off my property as well.
Well,
These SOBs will be dealing with a 911 to call, too. So this is the problem that you've got.
How will 911 deal with you calling them and saying, I've got a threat to my property, and it turns out it's just a little kid who is saying trick or treat.
They'll deal with it because I pay taxes to support the 911. Now, it was 6 months ago when we had a couple down the street. He's an insurance salesman, and she is a lovely a young mother, and she's with the PTO at our local school. And someone had taken dog feces and put it between the pages of their L.A. Times in the morning.
It sounds like it's the same kid.
It could be that.
And was that on Halloween?
No, that was last summer.
Well, then that's not even part of the trick-or-treat, is it?
No, sir, but the problem is it's the same person doing it, and he's going to do it on Halloween. I know he's going to do it on Halloween. I know this Halloween he's going to do it again, and he'll probably do it to one of our neighbors has a beautiful Thunderbird that he keeps in the driveway with the top down, and I swear to the living Christian God that he'll come out of his house and he will find dog feces somewhere in that car.
All right. Lloyd Bonafide with us, 1-800-449-8686. This man is grabbing the kids and pulling them off of his property if they say trick-or-treat. The term trick-or-treat is a threat. It is extortion. It is blackmail. It means that if you do not get a treat, you're going to put, in his words, dog feces in your car, or apparently there's somebody running around their neighborhood doing that. And he also is going to call 911. 1-800-449-8686 is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. I don't mind a man telling kids that they can't have candy and they have to get off the property, but he's physically manhandling these children, and that, I think, might be a little extreme. Do you think the term trick-or-treat is a threat? I don't. But do you think the guy has the right, if he doesn't like the term trick-or-treat, to grab your kid by the arm and drag them down the driveway, in some instances asphalt driveways, and roll them out into the street, and then call the police? 1-800-449-8686.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
one 800 449 8686. And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
And what they do.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. These are childish pranks, sir.
These are not childish pranks. This is the destruction of property, and this is obscene vandalism.
Well, a kid putting a dog turd in your newspaper.
And let me ask you a question. And you're a married man, I understand.
Yes, I am, sir.
And you want to come out and have your wife come out in the morning and see that someone has drawn in shaving cream large breasts on your driveway, and someone has urinated on your lawn to make the shape of the male organ. And
I don't understand that.
When you urinate on the lawn, it kills the grass and burns it, and it looks like a large penis.
Did they do this to your house?
Yes, sir, they did. And let me tell you something. I called the substation, L.A. County Sheriff Substation, and they told me to file a complaint. And,
well, I don't think calling 911.
And let me finish. And if any of these little SOBs come on my property this Halloween, and you know they're going to urinate on the lawn, because you know that's what they did. They put a dog feces in Bob Vester's garden over here. They have dropped dog feces down some of the chimneys when there's a fire burning.
Well, sir, that's got to be some one kid doing that, and that's not just during Halloween. You mentioned there were other times of the year. 1-800-449-8686. Linda, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, I cannot believe this man. I cannot believe him. Honestly, which is more traumatic, for a grown woman to find a little smutty picture drawn, or for a 4 or 5 year old to be drug out on the street? Excuse me?
I think these little SOBs need to be taught a decent...
You do not have to use that language when I'm listening.
Well, I beg
your
pardon.
Thank you very much.
I beg your pardon. I beg your pardon. I'm a United States Navy veteran of the Korean conflict, and I think I have the right to protect my property.
I am talking about your language, sir.
What were you doing, slacking back in the United States, ma'am?
I beg your pardon. Well, I was just, in Burma at the time.
It was about the, it's about the language, Mr. Bonafide.
Yes, sir. I apologize to the lady, but I am trying to say that someone urinated on my lawn.
Now, listen to me.
A penis.
If you'll be quiet 1 minute, it is far less traumatic for an adult woman to see that.
To see what?
For a 4 or 5 year old.
To see what?
Be drug out on the street because the only thing they did is they did what they traditionally would say.
It is a direct
now, I am
threat.
60, sir, I am 63 years of age. When I was trick-or-treating as a child, I always said trick-or-treat. And I remember 1 year, the couple said, you have to show me the trick first. So I did a cartwheel.
Well,
then they gave me my treat.
Right.
Trick or treat does not mean that somebody's going
to
destroy your property.
Well, that's what I'm saying, but that's what it used to mean. Now the kids today, these little SOBs will urinate and put dog feces in
very funny. I have never had that happen to me.
Well, dear, I've got a neighbor across the street. They put dog feces on his his toy railroad track. And the widow, this poor woman, Ann Mabry, just widowed 3 months ago. And
that
sounds like
one juvenile delinquent to me.
Well, that's what it sounds
like
to me.
Not all the kids in the world.
Well, then who took the shaving lotion and made huge breasts on her driveway?
The same kid.
The same kid.
No. This was on Halloween.
Yes.
This was on Halloween.
It could be any time.
See, this is the thing.
Same M.O. You think about that.
But let me tell you this. Trick-or-treat, as it pertains to the modern time, is a direct threat to property damage, and as such, under California penal law, I can call 911 to have my property.
If you call 911, someone could die from a heart attack because they were unable to contact them because you were on the phone with them making your petty complaints.
Well, best bless your heart, Linda, but as a child, and you were an innocent child, you did a cartwheel so a couple of old freaks could see your underwear. And you don't know that that's exactly what they were...
What are you trying to say, sir?
I was wearing blue jeans. I was a cowboy that year.
So you
I was a cowboy. They could see nothing. You seem to have a one-track mind, sir.
No, ma'am. What I am trying to desperately say to you and everyone else is... They left dog feces.
Yes, sir, on the Denali front seat. We know.
I believe I heard you say that before.
We know, okay?
Well, this woman's doing a cartwheel showing her underwear...
Underwear? How can you see the underwear with my blue jeans on? I was dressed as a cowboy that year.
You know, you were a cowboy.
Yes.
I don't understand.
Well, I'm from Texas, and that was in Texas.
But what is that
and
got
I
to
wore
do
blue
with
jeans,
a, young
lady, a plaid shirt, and revolver.
Well, what is that good to do with being a young lady being raised properly?
Because she was a cowboy.
They could not see my underwear.
You made
Think
sure
about
those
it.
Old perverts knew you were a natural brunette, didn't you?
Right.
I beg your pardon? At
what
at
I am
six
trying
years
to say,
old?
At the age of 6 or at the age of 7, no little turd is coming on my property.
Are you
I
all right, sir?
I hate your reference to the children, too.
Ma'am, I won't let them come
you're
on
a
my
bitter,
property.
Sour human being. That's all
no,
I can
ma'am,
say.
No, ma'am, I'm not, but I will not allow myself to be threatened.
I don't believe a 6-year-old could do much threatening.
How would it make you feel if, when dressed as a cowboy, some little SOB comes up and puts dog feces in your in the trick-or-treat bag?
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, come
You're
on,
getting into some freaking...
something like that.
Are you nuts or something?
Well,
I mean,
you really have a one-track mind, don't
are
you?
Are you a property owner, sir?
Yes, I'm a property owner. I have a home, and we have the trick-or-treaters. We take the kids out. I don't live on a much traveled street, but... The fact is, most of the kids are fine. We have candy, and if you know what I do sometimes, if I see a lot of teenagers running around, I just sit on my front lawn with my in my lawn chair, smoking a cigarette and drinking a shot of whiskey, and generally they'll just kind of stay away.
Well, I'll show. See these little brats. I've been saving them up for weeks. I've got these dog turds, and you can wrap these up in wax paper. And you can make them look like a Baby Ruth candy bar. Now, you think I'm crazy, don't you?
Yes, I do.
No, I think you ought to be arrested.
No, I could do that, but I'm not going to.
Oh.
All right.
Good for you.
If you do that, then guess who's calling 911? I'm calling 911.
Huh?
I would call 911 on you for dropping a turd wrapped in wax paper into a kid's bag.
but you think it's perfectly all right for someone to put dog feces in my L.A. Times.
No, I do not think it's okay. I'm just saying, grow up. Here is Keith on the Phil Hendry Show. Keith?
Yes.
Go ahead,
sir. This guy's an idiot.
Huh?
This guy is an idiot.
You got children, sir?
Yes, sir. I have an 8-year-old and I have a 3-year-old, and I can guarantee you on...
If they came onto my property...
That there is no way in the world they're going to come put crap in your L.A. Times. You want to know, if you don't want people coming up on your porch to trick-or-treat, if you want to know the easy way to stop it, don't turn on your porch light.
That's
and I
right.
guarantee you, they will not come to your front door.
Am I supposed to sit in the dark?
If you want to sit in the dark, that's fine. If you sit outside on the porch light, and then that's fine. That's up to you.
Well, sir, I don't have anything against Halloween. All I'm asking these kids to do is to say Happy Halloween, not threaten me by saying trick or treat like they're going to put dog feces on my...
Okay. Jesus, man, it's got to be one kid because all you're doing is talking about dog feces.
Exactly. You must have an obsession with dog feces or something.
Well, sir, I don't want any of these little SOBs, and I'm sure your children are fine children. I don't want you putting dog turds anywhere near my property.
I don't believe, it sounds to me like there's one kid in the neighborhood
doing the whole
a dog
thing, right.
turd on you.
Yeah, 1-800-449-8686. Thank you very much, Keith. 1-800-449-8686. This man believes the phrase trick or treat is a threat, meaning you better give me candy or I will do something to your property. He is calling 911, and he's got some things planned for the kids if they do that.
1-800-449-8686. The world...
Call the people in.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. We're with Lloyd Bonafide of Alhambra, California, with a coalition of Californians who believe that the phrase trick-or-treat is a threat to property rights. They'd like the kids to stop saying that. Simply say, Happy Halloween. Now, you believe that your home has been targeted because of your work?
Yes, sir, I do.
What do you mean targeted?
I mean Halloween. I think that the kids and whoever these SOBs think they are, and maybe with their parents' endorsement and support, are going to attempt to do some property damage on my home.
Why do you believe that?
I'll tell you. Last Saturday, someone tossed a firecracker into my backyard. It scared the our Pekingese. We have two Pekingese with papers. These are purebred Pekingese, and someone tossed a firecracker from the transition street between carriage and roadway, and it scared my Pekingese. The animal ran into...
Are you there, sir?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
The animal ran into the house and left dog feces in the house. Now, it is possible. I'm not saying it's probable. It's possible.
What, did the dog go into the house and got scared and it crapped in the house?
It crapped in the... Yes, sir. I wouldn't put it that way, but yes, sir. Now, it is possible, not probable, but possible, that individuals who know that we want to get rid of this threat, trick-or-treat, understand that by scaring an animal, obviously the animal will lose its ability to control it by its bowels. And this is another statement with this dog feces, which has been going on.
Well, I don't think anybody talks at a firecracker.
Excuse me, sir. You don't live on my street. You don't know what I'm living with. And then the dog dragged its rear end around a Persian carpet.
All right, let me go to Dave. Dave, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to make a comment that if this man were to take my child by any stretch of the imagination what he's talking about, I would throw his butt in jail. That's illegal in 48 states.
I have the right to take the kid off my property.
Not in 48 states you don't. And that would be considered assault on a minor, which is a felony.
Oh, really? I could pull that kid off of my property if he threatens me.
Sir, no child is going to threaten you.
Trick or treat is a threat to property damage.
You need to be locked up in a padded room.
If I see one of these kids that looks like they were the one that made my wife's dog lose its butt, I'll have that kid's hair in a ponytail, and you can get on your knees and salute the sweet Jesus on that one.
Well, I have to believe in Jesus, and I know you don't, because...
Let me ask the question here. If a kid comes on your property and you think he threatened you, you're doing what, Mr. Bonafide?
I'm grabbing that kid by the arm, dragging him down the driveway, and if there's a parent there, telling the parent and the kid to get as far away from my property line as possible.
And you're saying what, Dave? He can't do that?
No, he can't do it. In 48 states, it's illegal.
What do you mean, 48 states? I don't get it.
In 48 states, 48 states have passed laws against adults handling minors like that. It's a felony offense to punish up to 3 years
in prison. Wait a minute. What are you talking about? Why can't you pull somebody off of your property if they won't leave?
Well, the best thing to do, what the cops suggest, is to call the cops and have them come and take them off the property.
Well, that's the biggest load of dog dunk I ever heard in my life.
I heard that you said you were a veteran of the United States.
You better GD believe that, son.
Well, if you were a veteran of the United States, then you know that we are in a terroristic time right now, and you are doing terroristic threats.
No, I'm not doing
children.
I'm the one getting terroristic threats, getting dog feces and large breasts painted on my driveway to scare
you. You have a thing with dog feces. That's all you've been saying tonight is dog feces this, dog feces that.
I don't have a thing with it. That's what people have been doing. And the other thing, and what about them drawing a penis on a ghost on this guy's yard across the street?
That was the obscene thing.
Yes, it was. Now, this man is a 76-year-old veteran of Utah Beach invasion in Normandy on D-Day, and his wife comes out to get the morning paper, and she sees a penis drawn on the ghost thing that they have. Hello.
You're nuts. You really belong locked up. And if any child comes to your house,
I'll
feel sorry for him.
So, in other words, it's okay for people to draw penises on your house. Everybody knows... First of all,
I don't have that problem because I treat people the way they want I want to be treated.
That's what I was going to say. A lot of this may be that you treat your neighbors badly.
First of all, if it's a ghost, it's supposed to be invisible. And the penis would be invisible. And the entire effect is ruined.
If it's a ghost, how do you know it was a ghost?
It was a sheet.
Well, then there's a sheet, you can see it.
This man really needs some help.
1-800-449-8686. Bill, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
I got one question for you, sir. Exactly what war were you in?
A Korean conflict. I was at Chosin Reservoir. We got the Marines out of there.
You didn't get the Marines out of Chosin Reservoir. The Marines got the Marines out of Chosin Reservoir.
Hey, let me tell you something. The Navy got those Marines. Really? What did they do? Walk across the water?
Yeah, they walked to the beach, and you guys are our taxi cab service.
Wait a second. You were in Korea?
That's right.
Yeah, well, how old are you?
62.
Yeah, 62? No, you're not old enough, dumbass.
100-449-8686. Well, anyway, good luck, Lloyd.
Huh?
Good luck.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Henry Show.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
In the preceding bit that was done, Lloyd Bonafide, that voice was me. I was doing that voice. That was, how else can I explain that? I did him, he did me, I'm him. And the people that called believed him to be a thoroughly real guy, unless it was Pat Boone calling the show. And then we know that Pat's somehow snuck by Chris Pelton on one of our programs and got on the air and cranked the hell out of us. It was Pat that got on here and went Baba Booey. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. And here are examples of what I was talking about last hour. You know how around the world maybe you'll have a poet or an artist or a writer or a gifted dancer or a singer who goes to jail protesting totalitarian regimes, going into political asylum, going into political gulags to protest a communist or fascistic regime, You know, Salman Rushdie had to flee Iran or had to flee Britain because there was a hit out on him by the Iranian clerics because of his book Satanic Verses, and the Solzhenitsyns of the world and the Andropovs of the world. Well, in America, our actors and actresses go to jail for slapping cops and getting oral sex in the backs of cars. And in the case of Kim Delaney driving erratically, and of course Robert Downey Jr., scared some Malibu neighbors when he unsoberly stumbled into their home and passed out in their bed. Pee-wee Herman was pulling it in a theater in Tampa. Nick Nolte, of course, looked fantastic after he was busted on PCH, weaving out there. Tawny Catane beat up her husband. And let's see. Oh, yeah, Winona Ryder grabbing about 5 G's worth of garbage there at Saks Fifth Avenue. How embarrassing is that? You talk about an overindulged class of people. The American entertainer is the most singular class of overindulged class of people in the history of the world. Overinflated sense of who and what they can do, overinflated idea of their importance to the culture at large, too much money, too much time, bad decisions in terms of their personal lives. Running their yaps at anti-war demonstrations, etc., etc. The United Nations has a duty to disarm Iraq. They already voted on that 10 years ago. Iraq has not done that. The United Nations needs to ensure that Iraq follows the protocol set for it by the UN. It's not doing that. People that are against the United States acting militarily in Iraq are basically against the idea of a United Nations. The UN was formed after World War II when Adolf Hitler and Tojo and Mussolini had their way with the world. They held the civilized world hostage. We had to cobble together an alliance of nations to try to deal with these guys. And we said after World War II, we're not going to do that again. We put together a UN, a United Nations, with a nice big, beautiful building there in Washington on the east, or in New York on the east side, and all the countries get together and they vote and they talk and they try to do things. And if you are against militarily disarming Iraq, you're against the United Nations. If you think that it's a war of genocide, you're a naive child. If you think that it is a war that is strictly about oil, well, you're right. But it's also about the survival of America. If you look at it in a broader sense, it's about the country surviving. So if you think that a war for oil is bad, what do you think about a war for the survival of a nation which has been targeted by individuals in the Middle East for destruction? Individuals that are hell-bent on murdering our citizens and destroying our economy. They've said so. There's a possibility they've been aided by this man, Hussein. Or is it Saddam? Is that the guy's last name? I always hear people refer to him as Saddam. And I always think, it's very familiar of people to call him by his first name. It would have been like Roosevelt calling Hitler Adolf. And we think that Adolf needs to disarm. And Adolf calling Roosevelt Franklin. Franklin, you're full of crap. You know, look, Adolf, just get... It's like very friendly, isn't it? Benito and... So it's either the guy's last name or they're now on a first name basis. George, you're just a pile of crap. And Saddam, I told you, when are you giving me my lawnmower back? So Hussein is a guy that could very well be aiding them. You can't ignore it any longer. You can't hide in the closet any longer. The war has come to our shores. The threat is right here on our land. You can't pretend like it's just another good old-fashioned anti-war demonstration having to do with America's war machine imposing itself hegemonously, imperialistically, colonially, and all those other groovy-ass terms from the 60s on a poor little country that is just, you know, it's in a bad way. Iraq is one nation of people, and it's another nation of technocrats, bureaucrats, and militants. It's a military dictatorship run by a guy who is universally despised by the people of that country. Now, what is wrong with targeting a guy like that? What's wrong with that? He's conducted genocide on his own people. You guys that are out there talking about genocide on the streets of Washington, New York, and San Francisco, who do you think you're kidding, man? This guy has practiced actual genocide. He has used mustard gas, poison gas. He's committed every kind of crime against humanity. But a guy got to walk down the street in the United States because apparently we're very short on guts in this country when it comes to our anti-war demonstrators. Very short on guts. You want to take on somebody? Why not take on a Saddam Hussein? Why a George Bush and not a Saddam Hussein? Well, because it's this country right here, and we have to deal with our problems first before we deal with other people's problems. Well, how about this for a domestic problem? You ready for it? Okay. They murdered 3,000 people in New York. You remember that one, don't you? Is that a big enough domestic problem for you, or do you need something that's a little bit hipper? Yeah, that's the problem we got to deal with, Phil. Well, guess what? The way you got to deal with that problem is you have to get it at its source, which is the Middle East. You cannot wage a defensive war against terrorists. You have to be proactive. You have to get at them. Otherwise, you're constantly playing a guessing game as to where they're going to be tomorrow. Are they going to be hitting me here? Are they going to be hitting me over there? Are they going to be in New York? Are they going to be in Washington? Maybe they'll be in Beverly Hills one of these days. Maybe they'll be in Malibu. Maybe it'll be on Sarandon Street or, who's the guy? Tim Robbins? Or all those other jokers. Maybe it'll be walking down their street one of these days. Oh, come on, Henry. What are you talking about? The FBI, if it would just do its job. Well, okay, how about the FBI doing its job this way? We find where these guys are getting funded and where they're getting trained, and we hit them there. Is there something wrong with that? It happens to be very sound military thinking, but I realize it's probably not too hip political thinking, especially when you've got some real brain surgeons like Barbara Streisand running the show, who I thought was going to leave the country when Bush got elected. Wasn't that the plan? What happened there, man? That's a domestic problem, baby. That's a big one. That's called domestic. That's called right here. It's called the war has been brought home. Here and now. Four airplanes, 19 guys, trained by a man named Osama bin Laden, in Afghanistan and Pakistan, funded by a coalition of financial sources, a coalition of various agencies and entities who are dedicated to the destruction of this country. They are Wahhabi Muslims in Saudi Arabia, Shiites in Iran, even the Sunnis in Iraq. They are a variety of terrorist organizations in Lebanon and in the West Bank. Some of them are operating out of China. Some of them are operating out of North Korea. I mean, the money's everywhere. And it has as its goal the destruction of the United States military, the destruction of the United States economy, the removal of our presence in the Middle East, and the gelding of us as an economic power. Now, you may think that's fine and dandy. Well, you can kiss your freaking beachside resort off, man. You can take that cliffside home of yours and flush it, because as a weakened and gelded economic entity, as a giant brought to its knees, our standard of living is definitely going to go down, man. It ain't exactly going to be the good old USA that we used to know. Now, I don't know about you, but this country, to me, has always represented the future. It has always been a country that moved forward. We never moved backward. We moved forward. Sometimes you got to make the very, very difficult decision that, yeah, you got to pick up a gun. Not all war is bad. If you believe that, then you must not like living very much. Some wars are necessary. Sometimes you have to pick a gun up. Sometimes you have to swing your fists because you got nowhere else to retreat to. You guys that were out on the streets in Washington, New York, San Francisco, Los Angeles, and wherever else this past weekend, you still think there's a fallback position. Where is that exactly? Don't tell me to take all the money that we're sinking into the military and put it into public programs, because the public program right now that we need desperately is one called the United States of America. And don't tell me you ain't living good either. Don't tell me you ain't living good. And don't tell me there's somewhere else you'd rather be. There's some other country you'd rather be sitting in right now. Don't tell me there's another place that would do it better. You don't know of any other society, any other country in the history of the world that could do it better than this one right here. And you don't know of any other place where you would rather live than this one right here. So for a change, just to sort of break the monotony of listening to your same caterwauling about Bush, just for a change, why don't you vote on the side of some pro-action, picking up a weapon, standing up like a man, and defending your country? Now, that'd be a shock. It would be a stone shock, but I'd love to see it happen. I'd like to put a helmet on you, Barbara. a helmet on you, some stockings, spiked heels, on the beach.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. Extreme Radio.